Hey, welcome to the podcast. We're back.
We're back.
Been a while, hasn't it?
It has been. What have we been doing?
Well, I went to Australia for 2 weeks, and then I got back, and I had jet lag.
What have I been doing?
And then I just...
Nothing like that.
Yeah, and then I just didn't feel motivated.
Yeah.
So we got a complaint letter from our listener.
Yeah.
Our one listener.
Yeah.
So I'm just kidding. We have several. We actually have like four. But
complaints or listeners?
Listeners, yeah.
Four complaints from the same listener.
Yeah. So with that, actually, the complaint also, we were like, well, what do you want us to talk about? And so it worked out a great little back and forth communication. And we got a bunch of questions from our listener, listeners. And here's a good one. And when I heard this, I thought, man, this resonates because I've talked to a lot of people that have this issue. We're called to be generous. We're called to give. Uh-huh. I mean, however you interpret the Bible, I think one way or another, we believe we're supposed to give to the church, whether it's your 10% is the baseline or whether it's, you know, wherever you stand on all that, we're supposed to give. But I've talked to a lot of people say lately, I don't like the way the church spends my money.
Uh-huh.
They see maybe extravagance or like, did we really need this? Did we really? And they see, is this where my money's going to? And so they pull back on giving because they don't trust where the money is going with the church. And I've been thinking about that. I'm like, man, if you can't trust where the money's going and how it's being spent, can you trust? I mean, Jesus talked about money and spirituality. I mean, so connected.
Yeah.
So if you're concerned about the way they're spending the money at the church, should you be there?
Yeah. Where your treasure is where your heart is. You know, you can find out where your heart is by where your billfold is, by where you give, you know, basically is what it is.
Right. And I mean, these are good-hearted people. These aren't chinchy people. These are very generous people that I know. And some of them are starting to go, I'm a little nervous about this.
Yeah. Well, and of course, you know, as always, it kind of depends. I mean, are we talking about, well, gee, I thought they needed to refurbish the parking lot and instead they invested in a new sound system. You know, I mean, that's all opinion thing and, you know, who knows? And, you know, you can have different opinions on that. But so if that's what you're talking about. But if you're talking about, I mean, are you talking about like wasteful spending? Of course, wasteful is such a relative term too. You know, as one who is supported by folks who give sacrificially to enable our ministry, you know, we always feel guilty if we're going to take a weekend off or something. You know, it's like, oh my goodness, you know, we're going to go somewhere and have some fun, and can we do that? And you just can't live under that kind of a pressure. So it kind of depends on, are we talking about extravagant, like ridiculous, a 10-foot solid gold cross above the baptistry? Are we talking about, well, gee, I think they should have replaced the carpet and instead they put in new stained glass or whatever?
Let's just put it this way. If you don't trust the way the church is spending money, if you're uncomfortable with it, what should be the first step you should take to do?
Ah, my goodness. Well, I would think, first of all, talk to somebody. Go talk with a pastor and just get it. Not in a confronting sort of a way, but hey, I'm just curious. Why did we invest there instead of investing here? And the other thing is, and you know, I don't know if this is the situation you're talking about, but you might offer to help a little bit. After all, most pastors didn't get into the pastoring because they have a CPA degree or managed to do. I barely got through finance class. I never did understand what it was all about. Accounting, I managed to slog my way through it. But, finance numbers are not most pastors' things.
I'm going to be honest, though. I don't know many pastors who are going to be humble enough to have the humility to go, yeah, would you help us with the finances? They're immediately going to go, are you questioning how we're spending the money?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, again, it depends. If you're in some kind of a mega church where they've got an administrator who's running things, or if you're in just 30 people and you meet together and the pastor, he could use some help. Would you be willing to keep the books? You know, would you be willing to help us with this? You know, yeah, you're right. Probably not many, but the first thing I think you need to because otherwise you're just making assumptions. You're going on assumptions. Well, I assume this, I assume that. And there may be a reason they went that way. There may have been a designated gift that said, look, I will give this much toward the sound system if you can raise the other part of it, but I'm not going to, I'm using the parking lot situation.
Yeah, which—
just different gifts, different
things. A little clarification, though, on that. And according to the government's IRS standards, there aren't designated gifts. If you give to a church, a not-for-profit, they have total discretion over what to do with it.
Only if you get a tax receipt for it.
Okay.
Yeah, if you get the tax receipt for it, then it is— Yeah, because it's not a gift if you're saying this is what I want it for.
Right. Well, so then, the church, I mean, the church honors it, right?
Yeah.
I guess what C10 does. We honor where people designated, but C10 doesn't legally have to do that. We honor where the donor wants the money to go to the missionary.
Yeah, exactly. There can be designated gifts, but again, then your tax deductibility, you know, we're getting into CPA realm.
No, but that's important because I've talked to a lot of people who are like, man, I gave towards this specific thing and then the church used it for something else. I'm like, actually, legally, according to the IRS, to keep their nonprofit status, you can't designate. You can even, you can say this, you know,
I want it building to go here. Project my order. Preference. Yeah. And you know, of course you get there into integrity issues. That's why we do it that way is because for integrity, we say, if this was the desire of the donor and it's within our ministry realm, then, because that's the other thing. If somebody said, hey, I want you to give it to build this over here. No, that's not something we do.
Right.
We're not going to do that. So we'd send the gift back.
Let's talk about money and building programs. I've talked to numerous people over the years who they gave to a program and like, here's a big one. Somebody, you know, they're always telling you, we're going to pray about what to give sacrificially. I want you to pray what to give sacrificially. I've been a part of so many churches with building programs.
Yeah.
And talking to a guy recently, he gave a huge amount to this building program. And then the church was like, yeah, we're not going to do that anymore. Mm. And then they're like, you can come and ask for your money back. And I'm thinking, I wouldn't go ask for my money back. That makes you look like a cheap dude. Yeah. So what about that? I mean, that's an integrity issue, right? Like if the church is like, you would think the church would immediately say, what you gave towards that we said we were going to do, we're going to give it back unless you tell us otherwise.
That would have probably, been a better way to handle it, perhaps looking from our outside rather than the inside situation. Because again, we're all going on assumptions. We don't know what all they may have committed thousands of dollars in the research of finding the building and all that kind of things. We don't really know, you know, so yeah. And it takes a lot of guts. It takes a lot of courage to go and ask. So what happened here? I mean, that's weird that they would change the plan and not need any money for anything else. They're not doing anything else. So
if you're a regular giver to a church and you, it usually starts with a beginning to question a little bit and the resentment starts to build if you don't address it. So if you're a regular giver to a church and you're starting to look around and go, I'm not so sure I'm a fan of how the church is spending this money. You've talked to the pastor. He doesn't necessarily have he either reacts or relevant.
Yeah, uh-huh.
What's the next step? Should you leave that church out of your own integrity?
Oh my goodness. That's a pretty big step. But okay, so here's the deal. You are entrusting, I mean, this sounds a little dramatic. You're entrusting your immortal soul to the leadership
Holy
of this
cow.
Church. I mean, it's a little dramatic. But the point is, you're asking them to guide you and direct you in spiritual matters and in your home and in your personal life. And you don't trust the way they deal with money. I mean, you know, Jesus tend to be so flippant about money, and we tend to put such a big priority on it.
Wait a second. I don't think he was flippant about money.
Okay, let me give you a couple examples here.
Okay, all right, let's hear it. Okay. Jesus wasn't flippant. He talked about money all the time.
He did, but I mean, he wasn't really worried with it.
He wasn't worried about where the money was going to come from.
Yeah, well, he apparently wasn't worried about where it went either. His own treasurer was stealing from him, and he knew it, and he never confronted him. Judas. He never went to Judas and said, hey, Judas, why don't we let Peter keep the purse for a while? Because it seems to be coming up short every time we try to balance the checkbook. He never even confronted him on it, and yet he knew it, apparently.
Well, I mean, that goes back to it revealed where his heart was. So Judas,
but
the way he handled that money, Jesus saw that Judas was.
But he knew his heart was there. And when that was happening, he didn't do anything about it. Okay. Another one, a guy comes to him and says, hey, Jesus, tell my brother to split the inheritance with me. And Jesus says, who made me the judge? And then he says, watch out for greed. Greed? I'm just asking for my part. He had a different perspective on money than we do.
Well, it was a kingdom perspective. That's all Jesus talked about is the kingdom of heaven's like this.
Yeah.
So what's the take home on what that means?
So in application of that, I mean, you are giving your money to the Lord, I assume. You're not giving it to such and such a church. So you're giving it to the Lord. And if you are going there to be fed spiritually, you don't go to HEB and buy your groceries And then when you check out, say, by the way, I sent my money to this ministry over in Appalachia to feed the hungry over there because I think they need it more. You guys, I don't know what you're doing with the money, but look at this nice building. And, yeah, you know, I don't think you need to keep it this cool in here. So I sent it to this ministry over here. That doesn't mean all your money needs to go to the local church. In fact, I'm not even sure, shall we step on this landmine? I'm not even sure your whole tithe needs to go to the local church. But you need to be substantially supporting the place where you are going and taking your family to be fed. And so if you can't trust them with to...
Can you summarize in 2 minutes why your whole tithe shouldn't go to local church?
Yeah, maybe. Okay. It says you bring the tithe into the storehouse. Well, the church is not a storehouse. If you're in a difficult time, they may help you a little bit, but they're not saving up the money to help you. They're spending it. But it says, what was the purpose for it? That there may be meat in my house. In other words, those who were ministering full-time to the Lord, the Levites, and ministering full-time to the Lord, to the temple, and to the people, they couldn't work otherwise. They needed to be supported by the gifts of the people. So today, are the only people who are full-time ministering to the Lord and his people those who serve on a church staff, a local church staff? By no means. They're all over the place. And so they're ministering here, missionaries, they're ministering on TV, radio, whatever. And if you're being fed by them, it's okay to support them as well.
And we just went from 4 listeners to 2.
And we lost all our pastors.
That's right.
We can go into depth on that one later on if you'd like to, because I used to believe and teach otherwise, and I can tell you why, but that's another topic.
All right, so I want to unpack that a little more because, okay, so I think of 2 Corinthians 9, is it 9:7, where Paul says, each one must give as he has decided in his heart, not reluctantly under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver.
Now, that's not talking at all about giving to the church. That's talking about a collection they were taking for the poor.
Right. Well, I take it in giving in general. We're supposed to be open-handed.
Well, yeah, I agree with
that.
And
you always have to ask yourself, what can I give not reluctantly under compulsion? You always give, but what amount can I give not reluctantly? So I use that as an example in marriage of like, well, the dishes are always in the sink. And you go, well, I don't feel like washing all the dishes right now, but out of love for my wife, I can wash 2 of the dishes. Then you put them away, you can give that much, and then you do a little bit. And it says, and then God is able to make it, the follow-up verse is that, and God is able to make you abound. Hold on. I don't want to misquote the Bible here. And God is able to make all grace abound to you so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work. The idea being, as you give a little bit, he expands your heart to give even more. So you're always called to give, right?
Yeah,
but the question is, check your heart. So if you're giving to your church and you feel like it's under compulsion, is that the sign that maybe you don't necessarily need to leave the church, but maybe you need to start shifting your giving to something else?
I mean, frankly, when we're talking about tithing, if you're going to look at really what the scripture says about it, it's not even giving anyway. It's just returning what belongs. Right. And if you take that then the New Testament, you know, when I grew up, they would say the Lord's tithe and your offering. And later I realized, no, it's the Lord's tithe and the Lord's offering. It's 100% belongs to him in the New Testament. Mm. It's not just a 10%. It's all his. And the decision is, God, how much are you going to allow me to keep to pay my bills? Yeah. Because 100% belongs to you. I am crucified with Christ. It's all yours. It's all yours. Can I keep some to pay my bills and feed my family?
So is it bad stewardship to keep giving to a place where you don't feel like you like the results? I mean, that's where I'm like...
Again, you're giving to the Lord. Mm. And I mean, if you want to look at it as a transaction, okay, I'm going there to be fed. I mean, I hate to look at it that way, but I'm going there to be fed. You're going there and using
storehouse.
Their resources.
I mean, in terms of the tithe, it's just storehouse, a spiritual storehouse, a place to be fed spiritually.
To feed. So it's very practical. And the Bible's very practical too, you know. But I believe you're not accountable necessarily if you're giving it to the Lord. If you feel like this is where the Lord has planted you and you're to be in this congregation, then you need to be supporting the outreach of that congregation. If you don't support the outreach, I don't mean financially, if you're not in favor of the outreach of that congregation, then perhaps you do need to find some place that more aligns with what God's called you to do. But you need to support where God's planted you and be a part of that.
Thanks for listening. Please consider sharing this with your friends on the platform of your choice. For more from Joel Malm, visit joelmalm.com. For more from Rick Malm, visit rickmalm.com. Our podcast music was produced by Alex Burleson.